This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
A Gal Media property. Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. It is Wake Up Call. It is SB Nation Radio. Coming up in this hour, we've got the good, the bad, the dumb. We've also got one NFL team that is already complaining about one game on its home schedule. But we've got to get to college football because it's not a domino that has fallen, but there is a domino that is slowly tipping. The California State University system will now head into the fall semester with online learning. That ruling came down Tuesday. That decision came down Tuesday. It affects three football programs in the Mountain West Conference: San Diego State, Fresno State, San Jose State. A number of other schools as well. But this is the question that college football has been saying throughout this pandemic when asked, can you have a season? And the question has been, we cannot have a season if there are no students on campus. Well, can you have a season if students are online learning? If you have students that are online learning, is it safer for football players who can get tested to actually be on campus? Again, it's not a domino that's falling, but it is tipping, because now there's going to be a conversation about exactly where, in what part of the country are you at, when, how open is that area? How open is that state? In terms of getting workouts in terms of getting the season underway. And if there is an institution that has online learning, what does that say about the athletic teams that are going to be competing in the fall? Should all of them be canceled? Should none of the students be available? We're not talking just football. We're talking about all fall sports that are going into their season, soccer programs, etc. What can you honestly have competition? Can you honestly have workouts and practices and everything else that you're going to have if you've told all the students you can't be on campus in the fall? Now, it seems to me that this is a very early decision. It's May. But they're already trying to look ahead and saying what this is going to look like. Now, there's a number of other states that are going to make a similar decision on their state institutions. And what does that mean for the larger picture of college football if you're talking about multiple state systems that are not going to be having students on campus? We'll get to that next.
You're listening to Wake Up Call, presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. It is SB Nation Radio, SB Nation Wake Up Call. I saw a meme that says Guns N' Roses is 35 years old. U2 is 44 years old. That makes me feel old.
I'm not a big fan of those.
Of Guns N' Roses?
No, those memes.
Oh, I don't either. I don't like those memes that remind me how old I am. I don't like that. No, I want to stay young as long as possible.
The one that always gets me is that the movie Back to the Future is closer to 1955 than it is to us now.
Yeah, I know, right?
That doesn't seem right in my head.
I know. I can't stand those. They're too processing. All right, so explain California to me, Mr. Culver. What's going on in the Golden State?
They like to do things differently there.
They do like to do things differently there.
Basically, the Cal State University school system, which I think is about 30 campuses, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know. I'm not, maybe not 30, but there's a lot. And they decided that they are going to keep their campus closed for the fall semester and shoot for the spring to reopen life on campus as we know it.
All right, so I asked this question partly as a cynic and partly as a, I don't really know. So educate me. Why do you have to make this decision in May?
No idea. I guess the only rational thing that I can think of is you have high schools starting to wrap. Well, high schools, I mean, even in California, high schools don't wrap up until like June, end of June.
So
the only thing I can think of is it's around this time where you start picking your classes, or maybe it's giving professors enough time to create an online class.
So you're getting ahead of the students in their education. You're saying, look, we may be totally good to go in the fall, but just to be on the safe side, we're going to do fall semester online because we don't want to make a decision in August and have everybody scrambling.
Yeah.
Like, we don't want you, mom and dad, that's buying all the stuff for dormitories. You can save your money because you ain't going to no dorm right now.
Maybe.
Maybe that's the way they're doing that.
I mean, and that's thoughtful.
That is thoughtful.
But at the same time, but yeah, I mean, you can, I guess you could say like, hey, listen, you know, send a letter out to everyone who goes to your school and say, this is where we're floating right now. This is the idea that we have in our head. No decision has been made yet, but I mean, basically it's like this. My son is scheduled to play a baseball tournament in July in Missouri. Right?
Right.
Now, as a team, we're still right now on the fence about doing that. But no decision has to be made until second week in June.
That's what I don't understand with these kind of orders, right?
Yeah.
Why can't you reach a drop-dead date that's closed? Like, let's see where we're at. Like you tell, it doesn't even matter what it is. It doesn't, like, you say, we're doing this until July 1st. At July 1st, we'll be making a decision.
Yeah.
And so you be prepared to act on that decision in July 1st, whatever that may be, whatever that decision is. But for right now, no decision is going to be made. But I guarantee on July 1st, we'll have a decision whether we're extending this, canceling this, moving forward with this, whatever it is. But it seems like in May, if you're already saying fall semester that starts sometime in August when kids are checking in with classes starting around that time, we're already out. We're done.
I mean, it feels
way early.
Yeah, I know it's going to be here before we know it, but at the same time, it's like we're not even through the mid part of May. Let's just see. I mean, states just started reopening. True that a lot of states you're starting to see a little bit of a rise, you know, in coronavirus cases and what have you. But let's just see, you know, is it a meteoric rise like we saw at the very beginning of it all, where that needle was, I mean, it wasn't even a gradual incline. It was a cliff going straight up, you know. But I mean, if it's a slow incline, that was to be expected. But if it's not shooting straight up into the air, then it's like, okay, maybe we are on the right track of doing something.
Right.
We don't know. That's the problem, is that we're guessing at this as we go along. We're, you know, taking advice of, you know, important people and making the best educated guess that's for our country.
And you've got, again, whether it's all of California or Southern California that's in this now stay at home order for another 3 months. That doesn't, like, that seems, again, why can't you just do it a month at a time?
Yeah.
Why do you have to say in May
exactly
that the next 3 months don't? And this is where I get cynical. Don't tell me it's not some sort of power grab if you're doing this. If you're giving orders at three months. Here's the thing, guys. We've only been doing this for two.
Yeah.
2 months ago is when all of this fell apart. We haven't been doing this for a year. Where 3 months is nothing because, oh, we've been doing this forever. We've only done it for two, and they're saying in California, oh, yeah, we're not only that, we're taking what you just experienced, we're doubling it and then taking another half, adding to that. I'd lose my mind. You mean there's no hope? There's no hope in July that I'm getting out of here? There's no hope in mid-June I'm going to get out of here? You're keeping me in my house for another 3 months in the summertime? That, like, how?
I mean, I get it if it's an announcement for businesses saying, hey, prepare, do what you can, do what you need to do to modify your, you know, the way you handle business. You know, basically what this means is Disneyland has no chance of opening in 3 months. Universal Studios, zoos, anything entertainment wise is not gonna, you can't even sniff at it for the next 3 months. And I think at the same time, doesn't this mean that Dodger Stadium, Angels Stadium, they're out?
Yeah, they can't be used, right? Because, you know, I mean, you can't just start throwing out all these exemptions. Like, you know, people can't,
like go people who need to be at Dodgers. Yeah, you're right. I mean, look, there's going to be some personnel that's going to be needed at Dodger Stadium to do something. Maybe no fans in the stands, but there's going to be some personnel there doing something.
You got to have someone to unlock the door,
right.
Turn the lights on. Players don't know how to do that.
Exactly. But how does this affect college football? Well, look, if you're not part of the state system, like we were talking about UCLA and USC, well, if they can't practice,
yeah,
they can't play.
I mean, I guess they can go if, I mean, it's just for LA County or the LA area. I guess they can go up to Bakersfield to practice.
I guess they could. I guess if you're
only
Clay
an hour's
Helton,
drive
grab the
every
Trojans,
day,
stick them on a bus every day and get out of the county. But there's a story out there that Alabama is already trying to replace USC in its season opener with TCU.
Yep.
Because TCU is in a similar predicament because they're playing Cal.
Yeah.
Right in Berkeley. Now, I don't know what's the situation in that part of the state of California.
Berkeley's a UC.
Okay, so going to count.
Yeah, remember, there's two different school systems outside of private schools. The two public school systems in California, there's the University of California system and the California State University system.
Okay, gotcha.
The main difference between the two that I can remember growing up as was price.
Okay.
The UC schools are much more prestigious, you know, a.k.a. they're much more expensive.
Got it. Okay. So if you're TCU, you're looking at it going, well, are they going to hit the practice field?
Yeah, exactly.
In the weeks before the season is supposed to start? And if they're not, who are we playing to open up the season? Alabama's saying the same thing. If USC is in a position in LA County where they're in a stay-at-home order and they can't hit the practice field, who are we playing in week one of the college football season? Because Alabama is in a state that is more relaxed with its stay-at-home order. They are opening up their state. I think Texas is opening up its state. So these programs are at least planning, and things can change, at least planning on hitting the practice field in the next couple of months.
Mm-hmm.
So now Alabama and TCU are discussing, well, if you can't play an opponent in week one and we can't play an opponent in week one, let's play each other in Arlington.
Yep.
That's the way they're
I mean, Alabama was planning on going there anyways, right?
Right. Alabama
was going there anyways. TCU, right. You know, if you guys can't make that trip, then something's wrong with you.
Exactly. Exactly. So, listen, and again, this is what college football, when I say college football, just, I should be saying all of fall sports, but the big focus is going to be on
yeah,
football.
I mean,
but
what other fall sport is there?
All these other sports count too. But the idea, you know, has always been students on campus, then without students on campus, learning students on campus, we can't have athletics. Okay, that's the parameter you set. Now, let's see it be put into practice. Because now you've got states, like you said, this is not going to be the first state to do this. It's not going to be the only state to do this.
And in fact, you know, just taking a step back, you know, California State, it's just the California State University system that's doing this. So right now, none of the California schools in the Pac-12 are affected.
Right, but three in the Mountain West.
But three in the Mountain West are.
Yeah.
And so those are the schools we're looking at now. It's like, okay, well, how are you guys going to play? I mean, there's other smaller schools, too, like Sac State. I can't remember if they're in the Big West, Big Sky, whatever, one of those smaller conferences. Obviously, they can't play.
But what does this mean for a state like Michigan? What does it mean
right.
for a state like when you start talking about states that may go, hey, we're extending this thing a little further, or we're not having students on campus. We are not going to be like when the trickle down effect starts to occur, then college football has a big decision to make. What is it going to do? Right. And we've already seen the conversation already starting to happen within conferences saying, look, you know what? How about we just play amongst ourselves and see where that goes? And if you can't play, because you're in a state that's not having students on campus, or you have a longer stay-at-home order than we do, then good luck to you. We'll see you next year, right? So the Big Ten is all of a sudden going to be the Big Four, right? Or the Big Six, or whatever it is. Big 12 is going to be the Big Eight, whatever it is.
What's kind of funny is, okay, you have California, the Cal State University system is going to be shut down, you know, for in-person classes, right? But that was announced yesterday. At the same time announced yesterday, University of Arizona is going to be open.
Yeah, right.
No, they already said, yeah, we're going to have in-person classes in the fall.
Right. So you've got some states that will be saying, oh, no, the students will be going, and they'll be participating, and we'll be up and running. And then other states will be like, oh, hell no.
And listen, if we can't figure out how to get Major League Baseball to have a modified schedule or you know, a modified conferences or division. Or, you know, we can't, you know, we're still wondering about NFL, NBA may just have, we don't even know what NBA is going to have. There's no way you're going to be able to rearrange and make sense out of college football.
Right. Exactly.
You know, what schools are open, what schools are closed. These guys can play each other. I mean, are we going to have Mountain West teams playing Pac-12 teams the entire time?
Yeah, it's these are big questions now because you've got governors and mayors and cities and mm-hmm. all these government officials making these kind of decisions in May that are already starting to have ripple effects into what we'll be discussing in the fall in terms of athletics. All right, coming up, one other conference is trimming down because of coronavirus. We'll tell you who and what that means coming up next. Also, Good, the Bad, and the Dumb coming up this hour as well. Stick around. It's Wake Up Call on SB Nation Radio.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now. Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
When your battery goes dead, everything can come to a stop. You don't want that, so don't take a chance on getting stranded. O'Reilly Auto Parts will test your battery free of charge. If your battery needs to be replaced, O'Reilly Auto Parts will help you find the exact battery that fits your car or truck at a guaranteed low price. How great is that? Plus, make sure your vehicle is prepared for the weather ahead by getting your battery tested for free at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. So the Mid-American Conference, the MAC, is trimming down because of the coronavirus. And I knew this was coming. I knew something like this was coming. There are the budgets for these schools, some of these conferences, some of these schools is now razor thin. So they're trimming down a little bit. So the MAC is got they're readjusting their programs, right? They're cutting back on conference games. They're cutting back. And the basketball tournaments, for example, have been reduced to 8 teams. Now, this is a conference that includes teams like Miami, Ohio, Ohio, Central, Eastern, and Western Michigan, Northern Illinois, Toledo, Buffalo, Kent State. I'm probably leaving a few out. But that's the region of the country. No changes yet to football, but, you know, that football is the bread and butter. But they're in basketball, they used to start their conference tournaments with online on campus games, rounds, you know, opening rounds, before you would earn your way to a neutral site. Those games have been eliminated. They're just now down to 8 teams in both men's and women's basketball. You knew this was coming. That eventually that these schools were going to have to start making decisions based on their athletic budgets because of what's happening with coronavirus. You're going to start seeing some furloughs of secondary coaches. You're going to have to see teams having to do a little bit more with less based on what's going on with the absence of football, the absence of the basketball money that was supposed to be coming from last March. It's very problematic. And it's just, I think this is like kind of the tip of the iceberg. I think you're going to see it more and more among smaller conferences as they sort of have to readjust. So this is a larger story that's going on here when it comes to college athletics that encompasses everything that we've been talking about this hour, right? You've got limited athletic budgets. You've got governors in positions where they have to make decisions, or they feel like they have to make decisions 3 or 4 months out on the universities and the things that they control, and they have to make decisions on that. That does affect athletic programs like you're seeing in California. And as we said, California is not going to be the only state that does this. More and more states are going to start reassessing where exactly they are in this pandemic. How much of it do they want to continue to be shut down? How much of that will include university systems? If you don't allow kids on campus, can you have athletic events? Can you have athletic games and practices if students are not physically on campus? Now, you know, classes aren't canceled. They're just online. Does that mean it's better for the student athletes, or is the optics not good enough to have those students there practicing? Look, if you have students, if you're in a position like a big time program that has the resources, and again, I have to say that because some schools won't have the resources, but if you are Michigan, let's say, and you can, your state is in a position where we might have to not allow students back to campus. Let's say, I'm just using them as an example. It could be anybody. But you have the resources to have testing for your football players and football staff. you're actually in a little bit of a better situation if there's not students on campus in keeping those players safe, right? Because you can sort of somewhat control what they're doing. They can take their online classes too, but they'll just be doing it in an athletic dormitory. They will be on campus. Everybody else won't be. That actually might be better for the student athlete. Now, if you're the NCAA, is that really what you want, right? Is that the look you want? Because you've been saying all along that if students are not on campus, then we don't have student athletes doing things. But at the same time, there's got to be a reality check for everybody across the board here. Do the optics look bad? Kinda. Is it more understandable given the reality of where we are with athletics? Look, this isn't just, again, don't think about it from the standpoint of, oh, these boosters just want their football. Don't think about it like that. Think about the female soccer player that won't have soccer.
Yeah.
Like, think about it. Think about how it trickles down rather than trickles up. Right? Think about it in that sense. If everybody can just be honest about all of this instead of just hiding behind some idea that nobody really believes in, if these schools and the governments and everybody just says, look, guys, look, we need football, okay? Let's just be honest here. We need football to be generating something, all right? And that, you know what? We hate that it's like this, but there's no golf team without football. There's no swimming without football. There's no female soccer or men's soccer without football. There's no field hockey without football. All right? So we got to get football. And if it means we got to bring these kids into practice when students are doing online classes at their house, then that's just what we're going to have to do. And let's start the conversation there. Rather than this idea of, well, they're students first, they're athletes second, and if they're not on campus, if nobody's on campus, then they can't be on campus. Okay, so the ramification is my daughter that's on the soccer team at Akron, she can't play because we're not going to have any funding, right? Or better yet, a better example would be my daughter plays softball at Tennessee, and she can't play because we don't have football, right? Because football helps fund these things.
But I will say
this. So we may come back in the spring, but the spring sports have no money.
But I will say this, though. There's going to be, there's definitely going to be certain anger by these other sports towards football.
Sure.
Because I remember my school, which is going to be closed for the fall, just to remind everyone, that when I was attending, that they made the decision to get rid of the football team because it was costing them too much to, you know, it was either the football team or get rid of several, you know, other sports like, you know, the swimming team, volleyball, baseball, basketball. So they decided to get rid of football to throw all their money into that basket, which seemed to be a really good idea.
So
for our school,
right?
I don't know if it would work everywhere else.
Right.
We didn't have a great football team. We were in a lower tier conference. Our football team wasn't really doing anything spectacular.
What division were you in? Two?
Two.
Three?
I think we're, I don't know.
Okay.
We were in the Big Sky Conference.
Oh, okay.
So it might have been one double A.
One double A? Sure. When I used to do Division II basketball for a school in Colorado Springs, and some of the schools that we played had football programs.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember talking to the athletic director, and I said, have you guys ever thought about starting up a football? Like, if you had a big booster that came in and had some money. And he said, look, we've thought about it. We've obviously had that conversation. He goes, it would be so expensive for us. We would have to cancel other programs. We don't have, not funded like, you know, we're not like, you know, Colorado or Colorado State, where that the income is so big that it's money, you know, you're printing money. Like, for us, it would be super expensive.
There's schools you can't get rid of a football program.
That's right.
But there's definitely going to be some animosity. There's going to be some anger from, you know, from, like you said, the college soccer team looking over like, well, why do they get to play? Nothing happened to them.
Right, right. Then why are we out? Exactly. Good, the bad, and the dumb coming up next.
Wake up call. Continues now. time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, this is the midweek version of The Good, the Bad, and the Dumb as we have hit Wednesday of this week. So, as we always want to feel good every day, but even more important on the day that is midweek, let's get the good of the day.
Yeah, the good of the day. You know, we've been living this quarantine lifestyle for a while. Some of us may have let ourselves go a little bit more than others. But then there are those that are almost like an inspiration.
Yes.
And I told you during the break, I said, I need you to look up a photo.
Okay.
Because Vera Wang celebrated, what, her 70th birthday, 71st birthday yesterday or something crazy?
This is nuts.
The photo shoot that she took, I don't know. They had to have been touched up somehow, some way. But I don't think they were. I think she just is keeping herself in incredible shape.
Is every time Father Time goes to visit her, he's got another appointment he's got to get to more important? Because she doesn't look anywhere near 70.
No, not at all.
Unbelievable.
I mean, there's a photo, I was scrolling through, I found a photo of her and Robert De Niro that was taken not too long ago, and it looks like Robert De Niro might be robbing the cradle, so to speak.
Oh, gotcha.
Like he might be shooting well below his league, and I'm certain that they're almost similar in age.
Oh, wow.
It's really impressive how Vera Wang looks, but...
I thought it was her daughter. Like, I thought she was posting pictures of her daughter.
And maybe it is. We don't know. Maybe Vera Wang is, you know, the wizard behind the curtain.
That is true. I know she's a big fashion designer, but I don't exactly know what she looks like.
Exactly.
You know.
But that's not as shocking as one CeCe Sabathia.
Now, I did see this.
Now, we all remember CeCe Sabathia as being that gigantic man of a pitcher. For the Yankees.
A portly fellow,
pushing near 300, putting belts to their test limit.
Right.
And then he dropped a little photo yesterday that you had to tell me that was CeCe Sabathia, because I wouldn't have guessed it.
Oh, no. I did not believe it was CeCe Sabathia at first. I was like, that's not true.
I mean,
it didn't feel like that was that long ago that CeCe Sabathia's gut was hanging over his belt.
Yeah, I mean, wasn't that last year?
Yes.
I mean, how long has he been? He's been retired for a couple of years now, I guess, huh?
Yeah, I would say so.
But, or maybe he did retire last year and then just went on this.
Yeah, didn't he retire last year?
I have no idea.
I can't remember.
But it does call into question that if he was able to do this at age 39, why didn't he do this early on in his, you know, maybe the mid-30s?
That's a good question. Now, I want to get back to the training. Did he go, look, I've got a fastball, I've got a curveball, but if I bulk up my arms, I'm losing that. I'm not losing that. I'm staying where I am right now.
Well, right? Okay. I mean, I understand, you know, maybe not bulking up the arms. I'm looking more at just the weight.
Right. So
because this guy right here that I'm looking at, I have a feeling would be a far better pitcher. Unless pitching is putting your weight into the ball.
Well, that's a great question, right? Because, again, is it the whippiness of the arm that you want to keep intact rather than the strength of the arm? So it's the snap ability of the arm and wrist with the baseball that he's like, look, I'm not bulking on my arms because I don't want to lose it. I'll give you an example. When David Duval was the number one golfer in the world, he was a little soft. He was a little plump.
Right.
He wasn't fat. David Duval was never fat, but David Duval wasn't slim. He had a little meat on his bones. Then he went through this whole thing where he was like doing Pilates and he was working out and then he got like vertigo, but he lost everything. Like he ended up out of the game. And a lot of people speculate that his body excelled at his weight and his flexibility, that his golf swing was perfect for, he developed it when he was soft and flexible,
well,
right?
We can kind of say something similar about Tiger if you're going golf.
Yeah,
because
sure.
Tiger, early on in his career, lean, skinny little kid, But then started hitting the gym a little bit more, and that's when he developed back problems and wasn't able to activate his glutes.
Yeah, that's right. So maybe CeCe was like, I know these trainers want me to lose weight, but I'm very comfortable in what my body does with exactly the way it is.
Right.
I'm having a lot of success. If I throw on some muscle, that's going to throw off this, and I don't want to mess with anything.
I mean, this isn't some muscle, by the way.
He has done the exact opposite that I think baseball players do when they go into retirement. Now, football players, we've seen this where, Joe Thomas,
Lyman.
he retires and he's like a stealth 225, right? Like, they just lose weight. They're not beefy anymore. They trim down. But ball players tend to go on the more portly side. They hit the buffet, and they're finally eating all the stuff that they didn't eat when they were training and becoming
and
professional athletes.
You know,
he's done the exact
say.
Opposite.
We can also say that about basketball players, as we've been watching The Last Dance, seeing some of these retired players going,
I know.
Okay.
Yeah, look at you. Really?
You definitely stopped doing your sit-ups.
You made up for lost time.
Yep. But, yeah. I
good
mean,
for
he,
CeCe.
It's shocking. And, yeah, somebody had to tell me, this is CeCe Sabathia, because I wouldn't have guessed it.
Yeah. He did retire at the end of last season. So
last season.
This is incredible. This is an incredible.
So now I'm looking at this and I'm feeling bad about myself, because what he was able to do in a year, I should be able to do in a year as well.
Yeah, I know.
I need to get off my arse.
I know. It drives me crazy every day. There's a day I'm just like, you know what? I'm just going to be old, soft, chubby little old me. I'm just going to reach that point in my life.
What was that? That guy, Stuart Little or something like that, staring at yourself in the mirror?
Yeah, that's right.
Doggone it, people like you.
People like me. Yep. Not photoshopped.
No.
CeCe Sabathia is beefy. That's amazing. Good job. Good job, CeCe. What's the bad of the day?
The bad of the day is if you're a beer drinker this summer, you might have already noticed this, but the study was done proving it. That mosquitoes tend to attack people who drink beer more so than any other alcohol being drank by people.
Oh, do they sense the hops in the blood?
Maybe it's the hops in the blood. Maybe it's the barley in the blood. I'm not sure what it is, but a four-year study was done, and they found that that mosquitoes tend to go towards beer drinkers rather than, say, people who drink wine.
Oh, man.
Which doesn't really make sense, because I guess maybe some people are different, because I do get bit from time to time, but I don't get as bit. Like, my wife seems to be attacked a lot more often.
Oh, gotcha.
But she only has wine every once in a while. I'll have a beer.
Mosquitoes are the worst.
They are.
They're terrible. When you get a big infestation and they're all like hovering above you, it's disgusting.
Yeah.
But remember that a couple of years ago, there was like somebody was planning. Well, it's like one of these tech companies had this idea of finding a way where they could eliminate mosquitoes from the planet, and everyone went, I don't want to go that far. Like, I don't want to disrupt the food chain that crazy. Like, they're annoying, but don't, because bats eat them, other places eat them.
Look what a bat did to us.
Good point. Good point.
We don't need bats.
I don't want to disrupt the ecological balance of planet Earth. But if you can get rid of mosquitoes, I don't see a problem, right?
I don't see a problem if we made mosquitoes extinct. You know, I mean, the good thing is that there's some trapped in amber that can make dinosaurs later. So we have that going for us.
Well,
do we really want versions of us being brought back when robots take over? I don't know if we do.
Good point.
I don't know. The Earth might be a better place with robots. We don't know yet.
In New Hampshire, we'd get them bad. And I remember I would lay in bed and someone would get in the house and you just lay in bed and you hear right by your ear.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And you know, that's going to land. That's going to land. It's going to land. Where is it going to land? Smack.
I'm so glad you brought that up. I don't ever hear that now.
I don't hear that now either.
Why?
I used to hear it all the time.
Why?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Are we better than our parents?
I think it's because me and my brother just kept opening and closing the doors all the time. And
we got kids. Like, they're doing the same thing.
Ran in and out. But maybe you and I, I don't know. Maybe we have better pest control. I don't know. That's a good question.
I'm so happy that you brought that up, because I remember hearing that growing up as well. Like, you just hear, all of a sudden just buzzes right by your ear and it kind of startles you. And then it goes away, and then you're falling back asleep, and then you hear it again. You're like, oh, my God. And then I remember doing this. It's like I put the covers over my head.
Yeah, it's going to, where is it going to land and bite me?
I don't need it to bite me right now.
Exactly.
But I never hear it anymore. I mean, I have three boys that run in and out of the house all the time. They always forget to close the door.
That's true. Good point.
So I have no idea were there more of them? Maybe they are going extinct.
And aren't they pretty big in Texas, mosquitoes?
Yeah, they're the size of Buick LeSabres.
That's great. Yeah, mosquitoes.
I'll never forget my son. We were at a wedding, and my son, there was like a little, it was overlooking a little riverbed, a river, and he slid down this hill because kids do that. And he got up, and he was just covered in mosquitoes. Like, you could actually see
these
mosquitoes.
Oh, that's the worst.
And just, I just started brushing them off of him as quickly as I possibly could. I mean, we were right next to a river. Of course, they're going to be there. Stagnant water all the time. But it was just the fact that you could see them. I was like, oh, my God.
It's disgusting.
Because mosquitoes, for me, is like, the good mosquitoes, the mosquitoes that always seem to bite you, are the ones that you never see.
Oh, yeah.
For some reason or another, you don't ever see mosquitoes.
Yeah, they're terrible. And so if you can find a way to eliminate them, I guess I wouldn't object.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I would not have a problem if you decided to get rid of them.
All right, what's the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day, I know, we've been in quarantine for a while. Restaurants have been closed. We've been using food delivery services. And there's some businesses that are hurting. I don't think, I can't rationalize this food delivery service. Okay.
Okay.
JetBlue
the airline?
JetBlue the airline is now delivering airline food to your door.
JetBlue airline is delivering food to your door?
Yeah. Now, I'm sure this is only in certain areas, maybe like their hub area. I'm not even sure where that is, but I guess in an effort to make more money. Because they've been losing money.
That sounds like two different business plans.
Yeah. But, yeah.
That's like, we're Amtrak, and we also will power wash your driveway.
Well, because they have in-flight food available. And apparently...
But you need a team of drivers and pick...
Maybe they drop it off by plane.
Here's what we're doing. Hold on. JetBlue is delivering their food to your house?
Yes.
Oh, okay. That's okay. I apologize.
Yeah, no,
I thought they were getting into the Grubhub DoorDash game.
No.
Which is
the airline food that you're probably missing because you're not flying right now?
I got it. Okay. All right. This makes a little bit more sense. I was like, why would they just haul off into a brand new business that other companies are doing?
Basically, they're stopping off at restaurants and they're throwing the food out the window at 38,000. Feet. Hopefully it parachutes into your backyard. You don't know. It's a crapshoot.
So basically, if you like the little tiny Salisbury steak with the little tiny brownie, and that you can get that.
Yep.
And you're missing the peanuts, you can get that.
Yeah. They have one of the options they have right now is mixed cheese, crackers, and dried cherries. And I'm sorry, great. It is. It's from the Long Island headquartered airline. My guess is that they probably have a surplus of it.
Yeah, right. They can't get rid of it.
And they just got to get rid of it. Because, I mean, this sounds to me like they're MREs, like what military folks eat, because it does not go bad. Yeah.
I can't wait till this is all done and we look back on 2020 and be like, here's all the craziness that happened.
Yeah, that'll be kind of fun to look
back. People craved airline food so much that JetBlue is sending it to your home.
Yep, for probably an astonishing fee. I don't have the price of it here.
Sure.
I'll look it up
and
see how much it would cost for some mixed cheese, some crackers, and dried cherries or whatever.
It'll be like $15 for the box and another $50 because it weighs a certain amount of pounds.
Yep, of course.
What are you going to do, right?
If it's underweight, you get to save money, right?
That's right. Exactly. That's funny. All right, that's the good, the bad, the dumb. It's SB Nation Radio.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now. Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. It is Wake Up Call, SB Nation Radio. Hey, Ron, did you see that Phil Mickelson might be joining the Michael Jordan Golf Club in South Florida?
Ooh.
Yeah. Very prestigious, only 100 members, private course in South Florida.
You better be careful not to bring all 90,000 of those.
I know, right? Exactly. You better be careful. Exactly.
Jordan's already puffing harder on a cigar right now, thinking about that. Like, oh, he's got, we know he's got cash.
So Phil was talking about possibly him and his wife moving there. Like, they bought a plot of land to move there. I was like, Phil, you can't leave California.
No.
He's like a California guy.
Well, maybe he wants to go outdoors.
He's got it in... Like, well, that's true. Maybe he does. Maybe he's just sick and tired of practicing at his own backyard driving range.
Maybe he misses the sight of other people.
Yeah, exactly. And he, because his estate has got like a driving range, greens. He's got another plot of land that he's doing. So if he packs up and now the kids are in college and everything, packs up and moves to South Florida to be part of this super elite golf club. To practice and work on his game there as he heads into the twilight of his career. That's it's too bad because he's always been associated with California. I know he went to Arizona State and in college, but he's always been a California guy. He's always been a San Diego guy.
Is he is like maybe the senior PGA tour? Are there more tournaments down in that area?
Maybe so. I don't know.
So maybe the traveling is less.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Maybe the taxes are finally getting to him with that 90,000 one of these.
It's like, maybe. I should have said that out loud.
I know, right? I shouldn't have said that out loud. Interesting, those private games between him and Jordan, how much exchanges of the cash will be allocated. Interesting. Wake up call, ESPN Nation Radio.